Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is the Soundcheck Podcast, made on Varick Street at WNYC.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. This influential Anglo-Irish band, My Bloody Valentine, created a modern classic with their 1991 album Loveless. Then they disappeared for over 10 years. But the sound of that album continued via dozens of other bands who came under its influence, all of which got lumped together under the not very helpful name shoegaze. Now, recently, MBV, My Bloody Valentine, has resurfaced, and so has the shoegaze sound in a number of recent releases. So, it's high time for one of our soundcheck guides, and joining me here in the studio is the writer Tom Hawking. You can read his take on shoegaze on soundcheck.org, and he's here with today's soundcheck guide to shoegaze. Hi, Tom.
Hey, how's it going?
So we'll, as we do with these soundcheck guys, we'll run through some of the basics, hear some deep cuts, maybe even a track better left unheard. But tell us first where this comes from.
Well, shoegaze is a sound that originated in the late 80s, early 90s in Britain. It grew out of psychedelic rock and also out of, I think, a lot of the records that came out on 4AD in the mid-80s.
4AD record label, yeah.
Yeah, like Dream Pop, this very kind of hypnotic, immersive sound. But I would say that shoegaze really started with the first My Bloody Valentine record, which was called Isn't Anything. And it has a really interesting synthesis of very harsh kind of, you know, almost distorted, unpleasant guitar sounds, yeah, and really pretty melodies.
So is that one of the, is that the sort of the basic defining characteristic of shoegaze? Is this?
I would say so, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And we hear it right away in action in the very first album by My Bloody Valentine called Isn't Anything.
Touch your head, then your head, soft and soft and everywhere. Fingertips are burning, can I touch you?
Song's called Soft as Snow But Warm Inside, 1988 album by the band My Bloody Valentine. And the album called Isn't Anything was their debut. It would be followed up by Loveless, which,
yep,
Tom, is considered sort of the masterpiece of the genre still these days.
Yeah, pretty much.
And the harsh, distorted guitar sounds, you just get like a wall of them by the time they get to Loveless.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's kind of interesting. It's a sort of a latter-day equivalent of Phil Spector's Wall of Sound, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, it's just this huge kind of crushing volume.
Now, there were some bands before My Bloody Valentine that in retrospect, you could the Jesus and Mary Chain,
yeah, definitely,
for one. But you could probably go all the way back to the Velvet Underground, couldn't,
yeah,
you?
Yeah, you totally could. Lou Reed tuned his guitar all in D once and just, you know, played a massive kind of drone that definitely you can hear in these sorts of bands.
So where does the term shoegaze come from?
It came from the NME, I believe, at
the New
time.
Music Express,
yeah,
in London.
And was originally a way of kind of disparaging these bands, that they just stood there and gazed at their shoes and did nothing on stage. But they kind of adopted it as a mark of pride, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
The idea was that they didn't want to be demonstrative and rock stars. They just wanted to play this music, which was immersive in its own right.
Well, and I suppose it wasn't that they were gazing at their shoes. What were they really gazing at when they were looking at the floor?
Their pedals.
The pedals, the effects pedals that,
yep,
created all,
absolutely,
the waves of distortion. So shoegaze, very much a media formulation, like all of the isms that have come in music before,
indeed.
Except that this time the musicians sort of grabbed onto it.
Yeah, I think, you know, as with all genre descriptors, they had a pretty ambivalent kind of relation to it. Like, some bands kind of embraced it. Some bands didn't like it and would prefer not to be called it. But yeah.
All right. So Tom Hawking here with us, senior editor at Flavor Wire, where he writes about pop music and culture, and he's here with the Soundcheck Guide to Shoegaze. So let's talk about some of the other kind of formative bands in the genre. Who is Ride?
So Ride were another band who came very much at the start of, I guess, what you'd call the shoegaze wave.
And this is late 80s,
This is late 80s. Their first album and their best one, I think, was called Nowhere. It came out in 1990. They made three other albums. And as with the shoegaze movement in general, I think they kind of lost focus. So, yeah, their best record is definitely their first one.
And do we hear that? My Bloody Valentine.
We do,
influence.
Yeah. I chose this one because it does sound a lot like My Bloody Valentine. It's got a similar harsh kind of guitar sound, but also a similar really lovely melody under it.
The song is called Polar Bear from the band Ride. Is called Polar Bear from the 1990 album Nowhere by the English band Ride. Another example of early shoegaze music. Tom Hawking here with the Soundcheck Guide to Shoegaze. You said, Tom, that the movement sort of lost focus as the 90s progressed. So where would the bookends be for the shoegaze period?
I would say the beginning would be the 87, 88, and... And the end of it came 92, 93, around then.
So not that long a run.
No, it was a pretty short-lived movement, honestly. I think in England it was kind of overtaken by Britpop, where you had these very charismatic singers and intelligible lyrics and pretty much everything that shoegaze didn't have, bless it.
Right.
And
So bands like Oasis.
Yeah, exactly. And Suede.
And in fact, Oasis, there's a connection to the band we just heard.
Yeah, indeed. Andy Bell, who was in Ride, ended up playing bass in Oasis, which is... it's kind of sad, to be honest.
A short run, but a very long tail.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very long influence.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And then there's been a resurgence of interest in it of late with the movement that people are calling New Gaze.
All right. But let's back to the original shoegaze bands. You also picked a group called Chapter House. Now, this is 1991.
Yes.
So we're getting towards the end of the... But this is also when Loveless came out.
Yeah, definitely.
The acknowledged masterpiece in the style.
Yeah, I think it's not unusual for a movement to kind of peak and start declining at the same time, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Chapter House are interesting because this is very much what you'd call the quintessential shoegaze sound, I think. It doesn't have the harsh edges that the early My Bloody Valentine stuff has. It has the same immersiveness, but it's a lot softer, warmer kind of sound. Mm-hmm. And this album really didn't do very well, and I don't know why, because it pretty much encapsulates everything that people liked about shoegaze, but I think perhaps it just arrived too late.
1991, the album Whirlpool. Well, it would have been up against the My Bloody Valentine album, Loveless.
Yeah, indeed.
But let's hear from Chapter House in a song called Breather.
Oh,
band called Chapter House from their 1991 album Whirlpool and a song called Breather. So again, Tom, we have that classic shoegaze combination, these very lush, dreamy, pop-style harmonies buried in a mix of this kind of wall of electric guitar sounds.
Absolutely, yeah.
All done with various effects pedals and stuff like that.
Lots of reverb.
So that's that. Can we say that's like one of the deeper cuts? You know,
yeah, I would say so. I mean, I think Chapter House are one of these bands that shoegaze nerds appreciate.
Right, right.
But if you ask the man on the street to name a couple of bands from that movement, I think Chapter House probably wouldn't be at the top of the list.
Let's get away from England. At what point does shoegaze happen in America?
That's interesting because shoegaze, I think, was originally influenced by American bands. Like in his book, A Band Could Be Your Life, Michael Azarad talks about Dinosaur Jr. touring England. And they have a very similar mix of, very harsh kind of guitar sounds and poppy kind of melodies.
And again, it goes back to the Velvet Underground.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, it's interesting that shoegaze never really took off on this side of the Atlantic, I don't think. Or not the first time around, anyway, because a lot of the kind of newer shoegaze bands these days are definitely American. But there was the occasional band, and Medicine was one of them. They were really great. And the guitarist, Jim Putnam, actually went on to form Radar Brothers, who were one of my all-time favorite bands. So. Mm.
But Medicine, from 1992, they had this album called Shot Forth Self-Living. They're actually back, aren't they?
Yes,
back
indeed
on
they
the
are.
Scene.
Yeah. Yeah, they reformed last year, I think.
And, of course, so did My Bloody Valentine
indeed.
With their new record that came out in 2012. The first generation of shoegaze is now the second generation of shoegaze. But this is from that 1992 album by the American group called Medicine. Is Medicine, a song called Aruka from their 1992 album Shot Forth Self-Living. Medicine is actually back in business, shoegaze band based here in the States. Tom Hawking, senior editor at FlavorWire, has written about shoegaze. You can read his take on the subject at soundcheck.org, and he's here helping us present our soundcheck guide to shoegaze. This band was actually known in some circles as the American My Bloody Valentine.
Yeah.
Because of that combination, the harsh distortion of the guitars, and then again, this kind of lovely kind of pop harmony thing.
Yeah, you can definitely hear the similarities.
Yeah.
I think it's always a bit reductive to say a band is the American so-and-so or vice versa. But
yeah.
But yeah, there's definitely a comparison to be made.
And even today, now you talked about new gaze, even today there are bands like in Scotland, the Twilight Sad, basically, a bunch of guys who obviously had those My Bloody Valentine records and spent some time figuring out how did they make those sounds.
I mean, I'd love to know, honestly.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, no disrespect to the Twilight Sad,
definitely.
But this stuff can get kind of noisy. So,
sure.
Is there a point beyond which you're out of the realm of shoegaze and into the realm of noise rock?
Sure, there is. Exactly where that line lies is, probably pretty nebulous. I mean, if you go to one of the new, or in fact, one of the My Bloody Valentine shows the first time around, or one of their reunion shows, like, people were kind of reeling out of those shows with, clutching their heads and eardrums bleeding and stuff. Like, they're incredibly loud and incredibly noisy. So yeah, it's there's definitely some crossover.
Mm-hmm. Well, we mentioned Slow Dive just in passing before, and for these sound check guides, we generally like to not just do the basics, but as we've done, some deeper cuts and a track that kind of shows the dark. So when things go off the rails slightly, and Actually, we are going to hear a slow dive track. Now, this is another great band.
Yeah, definitely.
But what's happening in Souvlaki Space Station, apart from a ridiculous title?
The title's part of the problem. But honestly, I came to Shoegaze kind of late in life. I was a very earnest teenager, and I liked music that had kind of capital L lyrics, you know. Mm-hmm. And I was a big fan of this band, Manic Street Preachers, and Richie Edwards, who was the guitarist, once said, you know, I hate Slow Dave more than I hate Hitler. and I think what people came to resent about the movement... And
so you just had to figure out, what is this slow dive that he hates even more than
absolutely.
Hitler?
Absolutely. And it does have a tendency to disappear up its own rear end at times. and I think this song... You know, for all that it's not a terrible song, it does embody that. I mean, you're calling the song Souvlaki Space Station, and it's... Yeah,
you're asking for trouble.
Yeah.
The band is Slow Dive from their 1993 record, Outside Your Room. Slow Dive, a song called, unfortunately, Souvlaki Space Station from their 1993 record Outside Your Room. We're talking about the shoegaze movement, big in the late 80s, early 90s, then sort of disappeared, as Tom Hawking has told us, only to come back with a real vengeance in the last couple of years. Now, you mentioned this term newgaze, spelled N-U-gaze. Who are some examples of that?
I would cite the Pains of Being Pure at Heart, definitely. There was also School of Seven Bells, although sadly Ben Curtis died, so they're no longer performing. And then there's bands from around the world. There's a great band out of Australia, out of my home country, called Low Tide. I can't claim to know a great deal about them, to be honest. I put out the word to my kind of shoegaze nerd friends in Australia, look, you know, who's good these days? And they pretty much unanimously told me that we should listen to Low Tide, so... Listen to Low Tide, we shall.
All right. Underneath Tonight is the name of the song. Tom, thanks very much for being with us.
Such a pleasure.
Thanks for listening. Stay connected by subscribing to the Soundcheck podcast on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook and download the new WNYC mobile app for free. See you next time. I'm John Schaefer.